Christmas grace, mercy, and peace be yours in the name of God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Of course, in a sermon on Christmas Day, the identity of my true love is not your spouse or your parents or Santa Claus. The true love gave something that no one else can buy and wrap up and put underneath the Christmas tree. Our true love gave his son who hung upon the tree for you and for me. On this first day of Christmas, our true love gave to us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The text today from John the Evangelist, chapter 1, also mentions the first day of Christmas. And he does so in the panoramic perspective on par with the book of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We may mistakenly think that Christmas is the thing that God did after the world fell into sin, turned against God, rebellion against Him. But according to the Scriptures, the glory and the mystery of Christmas precedes the fall into sin and even precedes the creation of life and light itself. In the beginning was the Word. That's where Christmas has its point of origin. The Word, which was in the beginning. The Word, God, who later became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, why is this important? Well, when we sing songs at Christmas like Gloria in Excelsis Deo, which literally translated means glory and exaltation of God, we all would do well to remember that these praises are not lofty human hopes and dreams, but a heavenly, most glorious reality that has come down to earth in a baby child born in Bethlehem. To put it another way, maybe more personal way, imagine if God came and laid his infant head in your lap. Think about Neyland Stadium. Neyland Stadium is huge, but Neyland Stadium can't contain God. The whole Knoxville Valley is big, but it's not big enough to hold God. If you emptied the oceans, they wouldn't be big enough to hold God. The celestial heavens and all the powers therein cannot contain God. And yet, the very God of the cosmos appears in human flesh and blood in a little town of Bethlehem and lays his head in a woman's lap. And who is this woman? Not a princess, not a CEO, not a former governor of Alaska, not the Secretary of State. Some might say that she was a nobody in particular who lived in the Middle East and had neither wealth or status nor solution to the problems of world hunger, global warming, or economic recession. God chose Mary to show how God makes do with the lowly things and people of this world. Christmas is a picture of the all-powerful God of heaven who humbles himself, enters creation, and subjects himself to the humility, in humility, to the wonders, the dangers, the joys, and yes, even the death that sinners must face. Perhaps it is because of that humility that the world does not truly know God as he is. Here again, verse 10 from our text today. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Christmas is all about being in the know. Many Jews thought that they knew God apart from Christmas. Why? Well, because they had the law and they had the land. However, according to Jesus and the apostles, having the law and the land is not the way that you know God truly, even though the law and the land bear witness to him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, the text says. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. To know God the right way means believing and receiving him in the ways in which he comes in humility. Namely, as a child in a manger and a Savior on a cross. God appearing as a lowly baby is perhaps the most humbling example of how we too are to know God. Just like a baby, we must simply receive God and trust that all things will be provided for us, including being washed and fed and clothed and taught how to walk and talk in the kingdom of God. Babies can't make their parents happy by doing anything. They make their parents happy because they are born of their parents. Likewise, we must be born of God in order to please him. God therefore uses baptism as the means for us to be born again and to know God aright and to please him by all that we say and do. God's word calls baptism a washing of rebirth, and in essence, this means being placed into our Father's lap and receiving. In other words, it is not by works of the law, but by grace that we are children of God. Grace which is found in Jesus, the real Son of God. For in verse 16 and 17 of our text it says, "And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." We know the true God by grace through receiving Jesus. And that's something that even we Christians will struggle to understand and believe. For example, many Christians, including myself, this time of year, complain how the world tries to snuff out every reference to the word Christmas. God is being gypped, we think, every time somebody says Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Nina Totenberg this week on NPR was ridiculed by Christians for apologizing on the air before she said the word Christmas party. Oh, I'm sorry, Christmas party, she said, as if it were something taboo to say. Can a credible journalist admit that she went to a Christmas party? That she participated in a celebration with a title that some people don't believe in and some find offensive to their unbelief? Well, later we learned in the week that Nina was actually poking fun at the host of the party who changed the name of the party. It was Christmas party, then they changed it to a holiday party, but really it was a celebration of Christmas. Nonetheless, we Christians tend to get upset because we see these things as examples of political correctness and as ways in which the world is trying to deny the truth of God and make us feel censored. Maybe our anger is justified. But maybe we also wrongly think that if only the world and all the journalists gladly and unapologetically accepted the title Christmas and gladly accepted the law of God as the supreme rule over all things, then everyone would know God rightly. Well, that's where God's word tells us that we're wrong. The message of Christmas is that God comes in humility, and often quietly. The still small voice to Elijah, the baby in Bethlehem, 5 miles outside of the metropolis of Jerusalem. Not with a bang of fireworks and red carpets, but in the silent and holy night. We know God, not because of all the talking heads on TV and all the rulers of the media, because they proclaim him unashamedly. Rather, we know God because we have been born again by the Holy Spirit, by grace, having received him through the hearing of the word and through our baptism. Others in the world will come to know God too, not because of Matt Lauer and Nina Totenberg, because they say the word Christmas without blushing. The way God makes known his truth and grace is in Christ, who is being proclaimed in the lowly church on earth through people like you and me who are the salt of the earth. You know the one and true God when you receive him who came humbly as God in the flesh and finally God on the cross. Through God working in humility and by following his ways, showing mercy, and by being gracious and forgiving to others, we then truly see him who is the my true love of Christmas. No doubt, we are thankful that on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day that we get a glimpse of the glory of God by hearing of all the things that took place when Jesus was born. The angels, the shepherds, the wise men, the rejoicing of Simeon, the reaction of Mary. But then we are brought back down to earth, to the silent night, where God's glory is again hidden, and we must believe by faith. And it is by faith that we go and tell it on the mountain and over the hills that Jesus Christ is truly born. We believe that he is the truth and the life, and that his light is the light of men. And may that glorious light of his truth and love continue to shine in our humble witness of him who comes to us today, in his word and in the word made flesh, that is, in the sacrament of his body and his blood, the supper of his real presence, where we again receive grace upon grace for the forgiveness of our sins. On the first day of Christmas, our true love gave to us a baby, a humble Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ. Amen. We rise.